Hey, it is 2011. 2011, as they say. It is a year that's going to go by quick. It's going to seem short. It's going to be fast. It's going to be furious. How are you handling it already? It's January the 3rd, 2011, and we're ready to kick off this year in a very exciting way, I think. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. Shatter Live Radio Broadcast, and this is Russ Dizdar. We are absolutely feeling privileged to be here with you, to be extremely grateful for the door that opened. Let me say for those who have helped, specifically two individuals that have brought us all the way here and that have covered all the way to the end of January. So to those, and they listen, enormous gratitude before God, and may God's grace be on you. Now listen, I'm going to talk to many of you about perceptions for 2011. For those who are new listening right now, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. This is the Shatter Live broadcast, Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, if you go to the website, you're going to see hundreds of MP3s and downloads. Let me say welcome to those that are in Boulder City, Nevada, listening to the local radio station, to those satellite-wise, just simply all over South American continent and North America and the islands. And let me say hello to those who are internet worldwide. To those that download has been probably the most amazing thing. We have watched where literally thousands upon thousands to the point of hundreds of thousands of downloads of the archives have gone collectively to 90 countries of the world. And we've seen growing in that the Russian Federation. Thousands more are downloading since we did a special message. And they're in China. And we notice today in Manila and Portugal, Hong Kong, and many other places. So as I try this year to learn some of the language of each of those places, to be able to say Privyet, to be able to say Ni Hao, to be able to say simply welcome, in the presence of and in the name of the living Christ, Yesu Christu, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're glad to be here right now, knowing that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That regardless of all the things that could be, could have been, might be, Christ in all that he is and all that he says, in all of the grace, doesn't change, doesn't fade to the very day he visibly returns. So when I get into this tonight, perceptions for 2011, well, I tell you what, here's what I'm going to read off of the website before I touch on some news. Quote, welcome to 2011. Watch out because it will go fast. What you can feel in the air has connection to all that is really occurring. Some of this can be seen, but so much of the inspiration of what is coming is supernaturally unseen. So much will be done, and so many will set their agendas during this year. I'm giving you my perceptions for 2011 this week. I'm not a prophet, nor are these radio broadcasts prophecies. I'm giving you what I see from my research, study of the Word of God, observations of culture, my sense of spiritual discernment, and spiritual analysis. I do rely on biblical prophetic revelation and what the Spirit of God in the Word of God does say is coming. So listen, I hope you're going to join me tonight, Monday night. Here's simply the title. 2011 will be short and quick. Tuesday night, 2011 will be in the shadow of 2012. Wednesday night, 2011 will be a culture war. Thursday night, 2011 will open more doors to dark spirits. And Friday night, of course, 2011, dark powers will grow and no one is looking under the carpet. And that is a massive issue in how to calculate what's going on around us. So let me just say again, welcome to all that are listening, and we're ready to jump into this new year. And we've got today, we've got, you know, plans for Tuesday, Wednesday, and on and on and on and on. But again, all of the actual things any possible contingency and all the grace that God desires to unleash, well, that's in the hands of God. And this is what I look to as we come here. Now, I got a lot of emails and a lot of information about predictions for 2011 and even predictions that Jesus Christ is coming on May the 21st, 2011. And I'm sad to see somebody putting a date like that on here, or at least the end of the world beginning then, or the end of the world going to be it's going to be December 21st, 2012. So there are those that will do this. Do you remember the 88 Reasons Why? Years ago, I was handed a booklet called 88 Reasons Why Jesus Will Come in September of 88, I think it was. And the title I knew was offbeat, and the first few pages I knew, well, it was clearly offbeat. Be very wary of anybody predicting in two levels. One, where they are taking a bunch of scripture and in a kind of complicated way, working through a complicated system, trying to give you an exact date. I don't believe it. I don't believe that's how it was ever supposed to be unveiled. I think the biblical prophetic revelation is clear about knowing that signs of the last times can be seen. But as far as the date, we need to be clear and cautious of those who are trying to do it. Now, the other side of the story is massive occult predictions. I'm going to tell you right now, I believe that massive occult predictions, whether the old ones of Alice Bailey, even Albert Pike and many others of the past, or the new stuff of the Mayan prophecies, or many other new things coming from New Agers, and predictions from the remote viewers. Listen, I think that a lot of predictions, spirit-guided, are going to come out that will not be predictions per se, but in sense, enablements to the Luciferic agenda, to Luciferic globalism. Now, in this whole evening that we've got together, another, 53 minutes, I think, I'm going to talk about an old car out of gas with people pushing it back to the gas station. This was something that occurred this last month. I was driving down and there was a car out of gas. And now I didn't get out and help because three or four individuals, I mean, there were people there already. They were pushing the car. They were, it was an old car out of gas and they were pushing it into the gas station. And that's a good thing. I know that happened to me when I was in high school many years ago. We knew we were going to run out. 67 Chevelle Supersport 396. And I didn't do good with that car. But I tell you what, we were driving back in the days when gas was about 22 cents a gallon. And I knew we were going to run out of gas. But as we did, we were going downhill. And we were able to go a quarter of a mile downhill and pull right into the gas station, right up the pumps, while the engine wasn't running. Now, this car was being pushed. It was out of gas. It was old. They were struggling, but they were moving it that direction. Remember the story, the picture of this old car being pushed. I'm going to bring it back to you here in about 40 minutes. Now, we hear about the birds dropping all over the place out west, and we wonder whether that's chemtrails, as some suggest, harp, as others suggest, lightning, as some said. But I think it's important that something that strange would occur that we need to, you know, take a look at. What's the cause? Here in Ohio, there's a little town where a lot of young little kids have gotten cancer. And they've looked over the reasons why, and I'm reading the story about the boy and the girl that got it, and the third child, the youngest, fears getting cancer, and it's all because of the area. Now, I wondered why they didn't move out of the area, but the other side of the story is what is causing this unique cancer in that unique small little town, and they haven't figured it out yet. I also saw the story this week of the drug cartels claiming that they wanted 30 days of peace. Now, it's pretty bad when the drug cartels are going to be the ones telling everybody, you know, let's have a moratorium, let's cease fire for 30 days. That only tells me that the drug cartels, they seem to be more in charge down there. And they're calling the shots. And whether they will do that or not, I don't know. One more thing I want to tell you before we get into the body of this tonight is Facebook. And we've gotten on it. We've been on for, like, I think almost 2 weeks. And I've literally been having fun with it, connecting with family members, many of you that listen all over, some around the world. And it's great to be able to interact and answer. And I've gotten, just the other night while I was on, three had decided they wanted to chat, which was fine. And we were answering questions and going over things. And I've seen this so far as a benefit in sharing Christ, in sharing answers. And the only thing I'm going to be committed to is not getting behind. So on a daily basis, just a few minutes, just a little length of time, do I have to get on there? Email-wise, we have had to kind of cleanse the roster of 1,000 past emails. I kept about 100 and some, which I plan on getting back to this week. Over 30 today, and we're going to try to stay on top of it on a daily basis and see how that goes for a while. So we do apologize in the past if you haven't gotten an answer or a response. It just simply, we have so much time for so many things. We're live here. We do training courses. We do a lot of other things. And even, we've got individuals coming in. And we have individuals coming in from other states, other places, and then having me come out there. And so we're on the road. We're here. We've got all kinds of things. Let me give you a quick update. We're going to send an update out tomorrow. And the newsletter will be ready on Thursday. And we'll send it out. Plus, on the main website, the new newsletter will be there, the Preemptor. New courses are coming, and we're going to spend a couple more days fixing old courses, or we're going to have to redo them if we can't finally relink them. But the new course, the Book of Acts, a field manual for the end of days. Now, that is what we're going to begin here, probably the end of this week, and every week, half hour by half hour by half hour by half hour. And there's going to probably be about 60 to 90 half-hour sessions going verse by verse in bringing application of living out your life in fellowship with the living Christ, in the mission of God, in the power of God, and in the sign and the wonder and the work of God in the context of end-time issues. So that begins the end of this weekend. We'll continue that and until it's actually done. We got other series that we're going to do. So just keep looking at the website. We're going to keep adding more and more. And we're grateful for those who've sent in the emails and the letters and have contacted on Facebook. We deeply appreciate your words. We're trying to do and keep everything up, corrected in spelling and the best way we can present it at this time. One final word, want to say thank you to all those in 2010 that have helped keep Shatter and Preemption and all of us out here on the field. We do not have and will not have this year commercial products and commercial business ventures to back the radio and back the work. So, yeah, we want your prayers desperately. I mean, I don't want to say desperately, but we just know the power there, so we ask for your prayers. And if you want to invest, if you want to be able to, if you believe this is beneficial in all that we're doing, then we do invite support. So look at the support tab. We're going to update it this week, and we appreciate those who've already begun yesterday and today. Grateful, deeply grateful that God's giving us the opportunity. And basically, that's all we need to say, and we're able to go forward. Now, let me ask you a question tonight. 2011, will it be, and I'm saying it will, I'm just saying in my perception, 2011 is going to be short and quick. Now, as I was working over this over the weekend, looking at things, evaluating in retrospect 2010, and then looking forward to 2011, and what needs to be now, what needs to be going on in my life, how the Lord is going to be speaking to me, what does he want to put into me, what is he, you know, saying to me in my life, that's a vital issue. I'll never forget the words of a great devotional writer, Andrew Murray. You know what he said? And I've never forgotten it. Men look for better methods. God looks for better men. Men look for better methods. God looks for better men. I just want to walk with Christ. I just want his life to shine through. I just am hungry for the depth of God and the fulfillment of his mission, knowing the passion of his heart is that none should perish. And so if you are lost, wherever you are listening live right now, or in the archives downloading, even if you consider yourself an enemy of what I stand for, I lay my life down before Christ. And I ask that his hand stretch out to you with grace and mercy, and by the power of the Spirit of God, draw you, save you. That's a good thing. And it pleases God, our Savior, who wills pas anthropos, all men to be saved. All humanity. So wherever you are in China, in Russia, the Russian Federation, whether it's Manila, Hong Kong, Portugal, where others are now downloading more, it's all about the Spirit of God getting to you. And it's all about you coming to know Christ and knowing God and beginning to walk with God. Now, it's a vital time. And as I say Monday night here, 2011 will be short and quick. I go on to say on that little statement that I put out there on the website, so figure out what you want to do now. What do you got to do? Don't just stand there and watch it all go by. I believe there are expectations, urgency, and a whole lot of conspiring will be going on. Now, that's what I'm going to talk about in this session. I'm going to go over, literally, A, B, C, D, and E, 2011, short and quick, being the observer, the church, expect massive activity, and E, urgency. I'm going to go over all of that, but when I get to, let me see, A, B, C, D, I've got 6 points in the context of expect massive activity. It's all about the conspiring. And I want you to, so you gotta kind of listen closely tonight, because we're going to go over literally 5 things, A, B, C, D, and E. And then when we do hit D, 6 specific areas. And I think it's important that we look at it. Now, I want to mention this. The prophet Agabus. Have you ever heard of him? The prophet Agabus. Now, this is in the book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 28. Prophets came down into the area. Now, listen, here's what it says. Quote, one of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. The scripture goes on to say this happened during the reign of Claudius. Now, I'm going to look over that just carefully, because it's very clear that he was known to be a prophet. He came down to the area, and clearly he is making it known by the Holy Spirit that there is a prediction here, that there would be great famine. Now, if you read the context, you're going to find out that the believers there, they did believe what Agabus prophesied about a particular issue in their day. Now, I rely on biblical prophetic written scripture, but I also believe that God can give insight to our personal lives and direction. That's true throughout the book of Acts, and we'll touch on that. But I need to make it very clear, as there are counterfeit prophets, there is counterfeit prophecy. There is also stuff that is in the flesh done, and that can really bring a misleading to anybody's life. People can come to you and say, hey, the Lord wants me to tell you about this and this and this for your life, and you're to go to China. If that's not from God and you begin to listen to it, you can get really messed up. So it's very important that we understand the presence of the Spirit of God. Now, here's two ways we can take this. With the urgency of the hour and all the rise and ramping up of the dark side and all the counterfeit and everything else that is out there, you know what we could do? We can just all close our eyes, grab the scripture that we do know, and kind of hide out in the closet. Jesus taught a parable about taking a talent and burying it and doing nothing with it. And that's a bad thing. That's a bad thing, and the results is it's bad. It's bad all the way around. It's bad. It's bad. So what do you do with the grace of God, the power of the gospel, unprecedented, the conception, the birth, the life, the works, the words of Christ, the cross, unprecedented, unequaled, it is massive. What do you do with it? What about the clothing of the Spirit of God? What about charismatic gifts of the Spirit of God? What about the signs, wonders that we see in the book of Acts of God? The early church lived in the full power of God even when they confronted counterfeit. The best way to deal with the counterfeit is to live in the full power, operating power of the Spirit of God in Christ, as we see in the book of Acts. So that's going to be the emphasis that I give through the book of Acts as a field manual for the end of days. We are not left powerless. We are not left alone. And surely when it comes to an engagement, Holy Spirit discernment should be greater than counterfeit demons masquerading even when it's like angels of light, or even when it's like the signs, wonders, and charismatic gifts of God. We, as believers, need to know the power, the presence, and be familiar with the Spirit of God as Christ lives in us, with us, and we'll give the victories that are constantly necessary in accomplishing the mission. The mission is vast. It is big. So it's very important that we literally, you know, understand that we do not have to hide somewhere and wait till it all ends. That is not my approach. It is not the biblical approach. It is not the Great Commission approach. The righteous should be as bold as a lion should be the wicked fleeing. I don't care if it's the ambassadors of the Antichrist himself. Doesn't make any difference whether it's Benjamin Krim, whether it's the Maitreya, whether it's the Mahdi, whether it's I don't care if Aleister Crowley, you know, was raised from the dead. God and the authority and the Spirit of God and the promise of Christ, there simply is no backing down. And if you understand the armor of God, it's all front. It's all in the frontal part. It's all gear in the front. There's no behind the scene or your back. There's no armor in the back. You know why? Because taking up the cross and following Christ and being launched out of the mission, it's all about going forward. So, if you've been going backwards, stop, turn around. If you've been sitting in the closet, clutching your Bible to the very end, stop. Let's get out of the closet, because there are so many incredible, awesome things yet to be done. Now, when I say perception tonight, perception is based on, well, one scripture alone, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. That's a great example. It's an example of great prophets of the past, some of which, like Isaiah, Daniel, about 600 years prior to the actual arrival of Christ the first time. I mean, here we have Old Testament prophets and spiritual leaders, and it is said that they would take the scripture, prophetic part of the scripture of the Old Testament, that with great care, with great, intensity, I believe, they would search the prophetic scripture guided by the Spirit of Christ to see the times and circumstances. And they were looking for the times and circumstances, notice, not dates. They were looking for the things that lead up to the end. And I believe that's what the signs of the end collectively, you know, I think clearly point to the fact that we're there in the end. But no date setting. So tonight, I'm saying perception. My perception of 2011, buddy, it's going to go by fast. It's going to be fast and furious. And as I thought about that today, as I began to work on some of the notes, it was about 3:30 this afternoon when I realized I'm working quickly. I'm already a half a day behind what I want to accomplish because of the needs, because of the requests. I've got letters to send to people to say thank you. I've got emails to send to people to say thank you. I've got responses in counseling all over the place to give a word. I've got individuals coming in from out of state. We're wanting to launch out of state. We're looking to see how broad the Radio Live project can become. We're standing literally with expectancy about what else God's going to do. But I realize today, and I'm going to ask you right now whether you feel like you've already gotten behind. And so it depends on, again, what we want to accomplish. Part of my issue is I'm excited about what God, well, who God is, who Christ is, what the mission of God is. And there is an urgency, not because of the second coming on my behalf. Listen, that can come tomorrow. I'm glorified. I'm out of here. I'm looking face to face at the God that saved me. So for those of us who are saved, born of the Spirit of God, and when that harpezo and the glorification occur, wow, there's no regret. The simple issue is the heart of God. In biblical prophetic revelation, 2 Peter chapter 3, the reason Christ has not yet returned, the number one reason God wants to save souls. God wants human lives to come to Christ, to be saved and given the gift of eternal life. That's what it's all about. And as we talk about the end of days, and as we talk about Revelation 12, and as we mention that Satan knows that his time is short. Now, Satan knows that. And he's furious. And so there has been and is a ramping up as never before, because there is a river dark, unclean, that flows from Hell's Kitchen, and it is rot. And we're going to talk about that in a moment, so I'm not going to go there right now. But I'm just telling you this. The perception all this week that I'm talking about is based, number one, on the Word of God. Number two, on the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. Number three, particular systematic looking at biblical prophetic revelation. And then added into this is the biblical call, and I want you to hear me, slow down now, to watch, literally to watch the dark side. Where do you get that, Russ? Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. The Spirit of God says to all of us, be devoted to prayer. The idea is, the command is, you know, be committed and faithful and just fluent and powerful in consistent prayer. Now, when the Spirit of God says, you know, be doing that, be devoted, consistent, and ongoing, and so forth, in prayer, immediately in the context, the Holy Spirit uses the word watch, or being watchful. That's the word used in 1 Peter chapter 5 in reference to Satan himself. Be alert, your enemy, the devil. You know, he's prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. You ever read that word devour in the Greek? You ever look it up? To swallow individuals whole, just to chunk people down bloody. That's the idea. The idea of spiritual warfare from the satanic side, that it is spiritually and in every way predator. Predator. So when we see the Spirit of God say in Colossians 4:2, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful. Now, I love the Greek scholar Kenneth Wiest. He gives definition to the word in the biblical use of it as watching for impending danger. And again, the emphasis is the danger coming from the dark side. You know, watch for the counterfeit lying spirits, the doctrines of demons. Watch for the spirits operating in lives and what they're doing on a global scale, individuals in movements, as they are encroaching and have the audacity, as always, to come right into the church and operate through people so that they can bring confusion, and so that they can bring, they love to do it. And if they find a spot, they're going to come right into the church, right through individuals that are messed up and counterfeit. It looks real, but it's not counterfeit. So watch for the impending spiritual counterfeits, the work of the dark side. That is a vital issue. Now, next to this, I mark down PS2, Psalm 2. One of the oldest prophecies that is a reference to and will not be fully fulfilled until the day of Armageddon itself. And it already is God speaking way in advance, 3,000 years old, this prophecy right now. Psalm chapter 2. Asking why to the peoples, nations, and kings. That's the breakdown we get in the book of Revelation. Why, in a rage, in an emotional raging, conspiring together. You know what, folks? There is a real conspiracy. It is a global, there really is a shadow government, shadow military, and shadow counterfeit, alternative, lethal spiritual movement that is going on. And I'm glad for the word of God, Colossians 4:2. I'm going to mention it again, Colossians 4:2. Why don't you memorize it better than that? Understand it well and put it into practice. Because in order to do what it says, you got to spend time in prayer. And that's in the presence of Christ. And that's by the experiential operating work of God the Holy Spirit. And that includes then your sense of, in the Spirit of God, watching, looking for the impending dangers. Peter and those guys didn't have any clue. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. See, it's where Jesus can give you a heads up of any personal attack. Attack coming to your family, to your church, other places. Maybe you've had a visiting minister come to your church, or you've seen one on YouTube. Somebody sent me one today of one of the craziest counterfeit stuff. The sad thing is, people in the audience were clapping when it was obviously an arrogant, I mean, it's as if the dark side was mocking and laughing at real Christian ministry. It's what I saw. Don't have time to bring all that out today. I need to bring all of this out. I mentioned to you, number one, the Word of God. Number two, the Holy Spirit. Number three, prophetic revelation. Number four, watching the impending danger. You gotta be looking. That's where spiritual discernment, spiritual analysis. It's, you know, the more of the Word of God you have in too, and reliance on the Spirit of truth, you're going to be able to see. I like one old commentary writer in reference to the Spirit of God inside of us, where we're looking with Spirit-lit eyes. A Spirit-lit understanding. The Spirit of God is inside of you, believer. And the Word of God, inseparable, operative together. You and I should have cutting-edge discernment, cutting-edge spiritual analysis. And we must speak. And we must act. Now, having said all of that, I've got A, B, C, D, and E to go through. Let me mention quickly, A, short and quick. B, observer. C, the church. D, expect massive activity. And E, urgency. Now I'm going to go over one by one. A, short and quick. 2011 is going to be short and quick. And if you already feel behind, listen, the reason we're saying this is that across the board, there's going to be so many people talking about 2012. Globalists, political workers in the United States, George Soros in his goal of bringing collapse to the United States. Well, they all know that they got to do something in 2011 in preparation for 2012 and all the voting that's going to occur. They know that everything's got to be kind of nailed down now. So right now, there's going to be all kinds of agendas. And because of 2012 on the New Age and Mayan prophecy issues and the History Channel's, you know, bellowing out some of these Nostradamus effect and things like that. Well, I'm going to tell you that there's going to be a lot of things coming out, but they're not going to be so much saying, hey, a bunch of stuff's going to happen in 2011. It's all about getting prepared for 2012. I'll really emphasize that Tuesday night. So under A, I think, I perceive that if you and I let it, if you and I do not, you know, get our steps ordered of the Lord, if you and I do not understand redeeming the time, if you and I don't understand Jesus is Lord of all time, then this whole year, it can feel like you're just being washed on down the stream, that you've gotten caught in the stream and it's carrying you down. It's going by so quick. And it all depends on how you're going to be engaged. So it's very, very tough. You know how they get a lot of cars that rear end other cars? You know one of the reasons? Drivers sometimes that are in a big hurry, instead of looking at the car in front of them and giving space, they're looking way ahead. They're looking at two or three cars ahead and seeing what's going on way up there. And when their eyes are way up there, three or four cars ahead, the car in front of them stops and they rear end them. We need to be very, very clear about right here and right now. Just like Jesus in the Gospels, yes, he knew he was going to the cross. But in those 3 years, he stopped to minister to this person. Where Zacchaeus was crying, he stopped to go over there. When the woman with the issue of blood touched him, he had power go out of him. He stopped and turned around. When he went into Peter's home, his mother was with a fever, and he rebuked it, and the fever left. All kinds of enormous personal ministry can be done. All kinds of personal work and mission going to the highways and byways. So I think that it's going to be short and quick. Don't get caught up in it. Understand your walk with God and live daily in his presence and live completing the mission of Jesus. If you know more about the enemy and more about the political stuff and less about what God is doing, you're cheating yourself and maybe neglecting so great a salvation. There is no bigger mission. There is no greater place of power and passion and presence than in the great mission of God worldwide. That's first for 2011. Well, under B, observer. Now listen, I'm stating here that Jesus was not an observer, nor were his followers. In this sense, they didn't just watch the world go by. 2011, there's going to be a lot of observers. Again, a lot of folks are going to have their heads in the cloud for 2012 already, and they're going to miss 2011 and what life's about. And for you and I as believers, we're not just observers. Under point D, I'm going to mention six things: Hell's Kitchen, economic, political, military, technology, and hedonism. I am not just an observer of those things. And though I am a researcher on a daily basis committed to deep research, that's only part. Ministry. I mentioned a little bit earlier about the best way to have cutting-edge insight, the Word of God, Holy Spirit, prophetic revelation, watching the dark side and what it's doing. But I want to have here, and I do have in here, and I didn't mention it, doing ministry, leading people to Christ, ministering to individuals, is where you're going to find the heart of God again and again, that full compassion of Christ, where you're going to see what God can really do. And that's why I'm saying right here under B, Jesus did not create observers in the sense that we're just simply here to look at everything go by and simply report. Look at all those lost people going to hell. Look at all those devil worshipers, you know, stealing the children. Look at all those globalists getting the money and putting it into one fund. It's not just observation. If you're a believer in Christ, it is engagement. You are sent. I love the beginning of the Gospel of John. It talks about the great John the Baptist. There was a man who was sent from God. Jesus says, as the Father sends me, so send I you. My dear friend, as believer in Christ, a brother, a sister in Christ, you have been saved. You have been given every promise. You've been given every spiritual resource, every blessing, Ephesians chapter 1, in Christ. But you have been sent. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now that means God's good works. That means His, you know, supernatural mission. Number one, saving souls. Healing is included. Deliverance is included. Feeding the hungry, if they're hungry, is included. Giving shoes to those who have no shoes. That's all included. Years ago, I remember going to a Saturday morning coffee, breakfast, Bible study, prayer meeting type thing. We went in there, little coffee place in Kenmore, Ohio. And I met with the guys, and we were sitting there. A young individual came in, slammed his hand on the table, and said that he named some like satanic rock bands, declaring that they were his gods. Smiled at the young man. We continued to eat, talk Bible, everything else. Went next door to where we were going to have the prayer meeting, and we got into the prayer meeting, got into the study. Bottom line, we led the young man to Christ. Now, that was, I think, over 20 years ago. He and his wife and the two kids were at my home two nights ago. Now, there was a time I didn't see him for about 10 years. But I sat there looking at him, remembering the very day he slammed his fist on that table. But before the morning was over, the word of Christ, the gospel, sharing, engaging him, prayer, and leading him to Christ. You know what happened right afterwards? We walking out of the building. Everybody's going off to their cars. You know, I had $20 in my pocket. That's what I had. 20 bucks. I had plans for that 20 bucks too, man. And I begin to walk down the street, and a man that I saw before stopped me. I knew that he was in need. We began to talk a little bit, and I couldn't help but look down at his shoes. He had gotten his shoes from somebody else, but they were too small, so the fronts of them were kind of cut off. Literally, these men's hard shoes, like wingtip type shoes, the fronts were cut off to where 3 to 4 of his toes were hanging out. That bothered me. He didn't say anything about it, but I finally said, look at your shoes. He literally said it's all that he had. And that's what he was wearing. And it was cold out. And I was prompted by the Spirit of God. Yep, that last $20 was given to a man so that he could get some shoes, maybe some socks too, to fit him. That's how simple it can be. I'm not an observer. You and I, as believers, we have been sent with the total backing of heaven, of the living Christ claiming that he would be with us always to the very end of the age. And that should be our experience. And we should be seeing accomplishment and advancement to the kingdom of God. Now, under C, let me mention this. In 2011, the church, listen to the words. You tell me whether you agree or not. The church in 2011 mesmerized, in the wrong way, eclipsed by everything else. Now that's what as I'm, again, based on the Word, based on the Spirit of God, based on biblical prophetic revelation, based on seeing what the dark side's doing, based on being involved in ministry, engaged in the church. You see, I'm not just a, people know me, I'm not a church basher. It's about dealing with the enemy, dealing with things that, you know, and trying to deal in the right way, ways that work. God never calls any believer to operate in slander or in malice. That's acts of the flesh, and that's literally what Satan is, a slanderer. When it comes to the body of Christ and local churches everywhere, let's take a look at the book of Revelation, seven churches, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. Now, I'm looking at the church as a whole, and I honestly see that it's mesmerized by the culture. That you can go to a service on a Sunday morning, be there, all the things that can be done, and walk out, and not really experience that God was operative there. Check out the book of Acts chapter 4. Let me know whether God was operative. Or chapter 6, or chapter 8. So I'm going to say for me, in my view, in my opinion, in my perception, the church is mesmerized. It is eclipsed by everything else. And here's where that picture comes in. Remember I told you the picture, the car that ran out of gas, and individuals were pushing it to the gas station? That's my picture of the church in America. I don't know about England. I don't know about Europe. But when I see at large, the church is like an old car that has run out of gas. All the other new cars, they're zipping on by. All the other cars, you know, they're rolling all over the place. But the old car has run out of gas. And the individuals that are owning the car are out with sweat and bent backs, pushing it forward, trying to get it to the gas station. Now, Jesus Christ is the only one that has the right to judge and deal with, as we see in the book of Revelation, the seven churches. I look at the revelation of the church of Laodicea, you know what I see? I also see hope. When Jesus engages a church that is mesmerized, that is eclipsed, that talks about its successes in human terms, has nothing to do with the mission of God, the presence of God, the purpose of God, and they actually feel they're doing good. And Jesus responds in a correct, the only one that can really give the analysis is Christ. In your life and in the life of a local church, the only one that the church is to be measured by is Christ. He loves his church. He's to build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail. And part of that means him coming in and saying, you know what, you're pitiful, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. You're not hot or cold. I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. I'm about to literally just spew you out of my mouth. That was a possibility. But haven't you stopped to see that in the context of Jesus giving the warning, telling them how pitiful and naked and poor and blind they really were, that he gave them an invitation? Jesus talks about standing at the door of a Laodicean church, a mesmerized, eclipsed church, a church that seems to be old, run out of gas, and they're only pushing it with human strength. But Jesus says, buy from me. Get from me the ISAP. Jesus offers an answer. Jesus offers revival. Jesus offers restoration. Jesus offers for them to earnestly, quickly repent. And if you ever find yourself in that kind of dead, mesmerized, eclipsed, old, Laodicean, disposition, when Jesus does engage you, don't move slowly. Don't move slowly. When he engages us to get from him all of the reservoirs of, that which is going to open our eyes again, that which is going to bring the fire of God again, that which is going to put us back on the tracks. A knocking at the door so that if there is really anyone that wants living, active fellowship with the living Christ, that's part of the picture of the church. Though we use that evangelistically sometimes, that's part of Jesus. The picture is him on the outside of the church knocking. Hey, anybody inside realize I'm not in there messing around with you guys? Anybody realize that there's no activity from heaven? Operative, you've completely calculated everything based on human accomplishment. And it's dead, and it's dead. It's worse than lukewarm, not hot, not cold. It's the kind of thing Jesus Christ himself wants to literally spew out of his mouth. But he offers grace. He offers hope. He offers direct personal interaction and fellowship. I salve. That's the great thing about God's grace, God's mercy. New every day as we read in Lamentations. So there is hope for me going into 2011 that Jesus Christ still brings mercy and grace even to a mesmerized, eclipsed, behind the scenes, powerless, run out of gas, old tanker of a car that nobody else wants to drive. You take a look at the church in the book of Acts. You take a look where Jesus is operative. The Spirit of God is experienced, saving, healing, delivering, and God's signs and wonders, even in the engagement with the enemy. The kingdom of God wins every single time in the book of Acts. So, let me deal with D. D is expect massive activity in 2011. Here's the activity. I'm going to give you 6 points on the activity. Now, A was short and quick. B is don't be just an observer. C is though the church, like an old rusted out car out of gas, being pushed with all human strength back to the gas station, mesmerized, eclipse, God still offers hope. Christ still offers redemption. God still can bring restoration. Don't take Jesus' seat. He is Lord. Look what he wills, look what he offers, look what his invitation is. Now, D, listen, expect massive activity, the building up of agendas. And I'm going to tell you this, I believe it's based on Psalm chapter 2, as we're getting closer to the end, the raging conspiracy of the peoples in mass, the nations, and specifically the kings of the earth, become more and more evident as they're taking their stand against God and against God's Christ, the Messiah, the Meshach. Now listen, under D, expect massive activity during 2011. Here's the 6 realms. 1, Hell's Kitchen. Most people are not looking under the carpet. But Hell's Kitchen is active. The agenda is big. The unleashing of more and more spiritual counterfeits, false doctrine, counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles. The constant development in the New Age movement and layering it all with new levels of supernatural spiritual activity that seems like an angel of light, but is literally devils from hell. Hell's Kitchen will be operative all the way to Armageddon. They're not going to stop. You and I've got to understand they are furious. They know their time is short, and they are operative. That's what most people are not going to see. And I'm dedicating one entire evening, I think it's Friday, on that issue. Number two, economic. Expect massive activity economically. And someone sent me already today one of those economic. It's called, literally, it's titled The Economic Collapse. And here it is. George Soros, quote, "The United States must stop resisting the orderly decline of the dollar, the coming global currency, and the new world order." Appreciate the article sent to me concerning that. But the economic, you're going to find because of Hell's Kitchen, ultimately, and Antichrist's checkbook, that destabilization and the siphoning off of money moving in one direction will continue to occur. Three, political massive activity. Everybody on the right, everybody on the left, everybody's going to scurry around, everybody's going to work, everybody's going to fight. And I believe that that we're not to be observers, so that, especially in America, you have a right to get out there. How can we, you know, I always say this way, don't leave your society, your neighborhood. You're not going to leave your family to the dogs. You're not going to leave your neighborhood to the dogs. Why leave your city to the dogs? Why leave your nation to the dogs? Now, I say dogs in reference to Revelation. The last couple of chapters, you read about how the dogs are on the outside. You take the time and look it up yourself. I only get an hour. In this providential moment, the conspiring of Hell's Kitchen will be seen in the economic movement, the political movement towards globalism, still again and again and again, and the political activism when it comes to gays and wanting to take over, including in Massachusetts, to by law make the church do gay weddings and hire gay individuals. So gay activism is going to be big. What are you going to do about it? Thousands of gays have gotten saved and got out. That's one of the number one things. Many do want out. But anyway, a lot of activity politically in every single way, lobbying and all of it. Now, number four, military. The movements military-wise, China unleashing a missile off the coast there, the Pacific coast, from a submarine, giving a warning. Afghanistan, North Korea, Venezuela, Yemen, the Somalis, those on the inside of the United States, behind the scenes, those that really orchestrate all of it, false flag, all that stuff. And the military's drivenness for super soldiers and future weapons. Number five, technology. Science, as in the view of Stephen Hawking, is like God, and only it can answer the questions. Artificial intelligence, transhumanism, the new stuff that I'll bring this out this month, the evolving universe. How about devices and weapons? Number six, hedonism. Well, listen, we have run out of time. I got about 5 minutes more to go, but listen, I'll bring it up tomorrow. I am so glad to be here with you. This is Rust Izdar 2011, the 3rd of January. Remember us in your prayers, shatterthedarkness.net. And listen, remember us in support. God bless. Good night.